Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the marketing advisors on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good evening, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. My name is Treg Kazik. I'm joined, as always, by my trusty sidekick, Rusty Winter. Welcome.
Treg, this may be our best show yet. I am so excited today.
Yes, sir. No, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. We got two phenomenal guests. If you're unfamiliar with the show, first of all, congratulations for finding us. You, my friend, just won the lottery. You found the Marketing Advisor Radio Show.
We'll call it the Profit Lottery.
The Profit Lottery, that's right. So if you're a business owner, business decision maker, you have influence within your organization and a vested interest in seeing revenues grow, then, like I said, you won the lottery. Welcome to the show. That's what we talk
Maybe
about
Maybe you
here.
Failed up into to this point, and Maybe, now we're about to change your life.
We're about to change your world. So... We, like I said, we've got two incredible guests today. The first I'm going to introduce, her name is Melody Hutchison. Now, Rusty and I are very familiar with Melody. She's a longtime friend of the show. She is a an award-winning sales professional. She's been in professional sales for 15 years, right, Melody? Welcome to the show, by the way.
That's correct. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
So this show is Saturday. We have to do this on the weekends. But Thursday was just International Women's Day. And so I saw all kinds of great things on Thursday about celebrating the achievements of women. I wish we could have done the show then, because having Melody on would be, I mean, just so appropriate with that.
Right.
Because we've gotten, I mean, I've worked with Melody for a long, long time, and she's just an impressive person overall. But really, I mean, just if you talk about women and who to look up to, listen to the show. I mean, this is one where you're going to see it, where you're going to see a true, really a woman that's really reached really cool heights, especially
well,
in our
and,
world.
And, you know, on the show, Rusty, we typically we talk about things related to marketing and advertising, which is really just half of the equation. And what Melody's going to share with us today are things from the sales side, which arguably could be viewed as more important, because advertising, marketing can certainly bring prospects to the door. But what happens after that is entirely up to the sales force, and that's where Melody is an expert.
So you again, are absolutely right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Well, Melody, we always talk about the marketing umbrella, and sales fits squarely in the marketing umbrella. I mean, it is part of the marketing equation. I want to also introduce Melody in a way to tell everybody that, yes, she's our colleague here. She on a daily basis is doing what Treg and I do, but she's also the she started a blog, and it's called roadto1%.com, and I invite you to go to that as soon as you can. Road, not while you're driving, folks. roadto1%.com. It's fantastic. So if you want to to see the insights I think Melody's going to talk about this a little bit, but somebody who kind of struggled a little bit at mm-hmm. first in the sales career. So we'll see in a second how she's got the personality for it. But it just took a while for it to really take hold in terms of her success, and then it skyrocketed.
I wanted to start off from the business person's perspective,
sure.
Right? So a business owner who's got a sales force and maybe sees some challenges there, what are some of the things that, all right, so they're doing all the right things, they're advertising, they're marketing, and they're bringing people to the doorstep, but what are some of the things that the sales force might be doing that can sabotage that prospect from turning into a customer?
Yeah, I think as a sales professional who sells advertising for a living, there's been so many times where the advertising has been effective in driving new customers to inquire about a particular business's services,
right.
But then that's where the ball gets dropped. And I think that there are a couple really, really key things that if you're not doing them, it's a serious problem. You're basically wasting your marketing dollars.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Like what? Like what are some
of those things? The first one is people in today's world expect to be responded to very quickly in a very timely manner. And I'm talking, in some businesses, an hour can be a long time to not get back to someone. So if someone submits a form on to contact them on a website, or they call and you haven't picked up the phone, you haven't returned their phone call, they may be on to the next business because they might be at that point hunting for an answer to something. And if you're not there to answer their questions or help them along a sale, by the time you get back to them, it's going to die.
It makes sense. So, and then if they do get to speak to a person at your competitors, if that sales force is doing their job, they've closed them, that business is gone to you for at least a while.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that comes to mind is, if you can help it, try not to get into negotiating and selling fully over an email or a phone call. Sometimes you can't help it. We live in the real world. But if you can answer a few basic questions and then say, would you mind coming in to meet with me and talk about it, you have a lot better chance of actually eventually selling that person versus just, answering a quick question and then saying, hey, do you want to buy from me? So trying to engage and find out dig deeper into what the real problem is or the real need is that person, why they're trying to inquire about your product or service, it can be really important. I've seen a lot of instances where sales reps will just answer a quick question and then be done with it. And then who knows where the lead went to.
Right.
So,
right. So given those couple of things that you just outlined that can sabotage a prospect becoming a client or customer, what do you suggest that business owners do in order to prevent those things from happening? Is there anything?
Yeah, I think a couple of things come to mind. The first is, this may sound obvious, but hire salespeople and an entire sales staff that actually care. And by that I mean not just care about how much money that salesperson is there to make that day. But care about the client, care about the customer.
I think I saw one of your blog posts about it. What's the name of that blog again?
Care More.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
But what's the name of
the name of the blog post?
The site,
roadto1%.com.
Roadto1%.
And one is spelled out. But one of my blog posts was just about, you can grow your business so much just by being someone who cares more about what their problems are, what their needs are, what their challenges, their goals are, because just not enough salespeople really care about that, and they're just focused on, how do I get the next sale?
Right. How do I hit my quota so I can keep my job?
Yep, that's pretty much it.
I think you're onto something there. If the sales force actually cares about the goal, you know, the clients themselves, the customers, then it's going to mitigate so many other problems that sales forces encounter.
And I think, you know, another thing that comes to mind from a business owner's perspective is that it also comes down to the culture. You have to coach your sales reps to be able to have the time and feel like it's important to take care of their clients and their customers. So it's your job to lead by example and make it not about just hitting your numbers, but about having great customer service.
Right. Now, I know this time has flown by. We have just about a minute left, but I want for the business owners, I want one more question to be answered by you, and that is, you know, for business owners who know that they need to revamp their sales force and need to get some, I don't know, some different professionals in that role, somebody who will better represent her company, what are some of the suggestions, what are some of the traits that you would recommend looking for in prospective new sales associates?
I wrote down five things. First one, be a problem solver. You want someone who is going to look at a challenge and say, how do I figure this out? How do I help this customer that has this challenge? Number two, you want someone who's not afraid to be persistent, not obnoxiously persistent, but be persistent in their follow through. You also need somebody who is willing to have very strong work ethic, that just comes natural, so that you aren't the one pushing them to work harder and harder, but they want to work harder and harder. Another thing is the ability to read people, to read the room. And then I would say the fifth thing is just sounds so simple, but having a positive attitude doesn't just translate to, oh, I'm having a great day, but it translates to not giving up and trying to find a way around whatever the problem is, and to find somebody who wants to just keep going regardless.
Good advice, sage advice from a 15-year veteran and longtime salesperson. You are listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. We will be back in mere moments.
Welcome back. You are still listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. We appreciate you joining us. I'm Rusty Winter. Treg's card to get in the building worked again, so again, he is joining us. We're trying to do something about that, but we'll see. I'll deal with it on Monday. But we're having a real fun conversation with actually one of our colleagues. It's not often we have one of our colleagues on the show, but Melody Hutchison is a really just an impressive woman in terms of what we do, sales and marketing, and just like gutsy, and I just really, really love working with her. And so we wanted to talk about sales because sales fits squarely in that marketing umbrella that we talk about. So when we left the before we went to break, Melody was talking about really how important it is to hire the right salespeople. I mean, that's key. And she listed what, like five things to look for.
Right, five traits.
Yeah, five traits when you're looking for a new salesperson. And I just want to say, like, from a sales management perspective, how important that is in your overall equation. You can have I believe, and just from what I've seen in the last 18 years of doing this, that sales talent is the most important factor in your sales organization. It is the only one that has an exponential factor to it. The other ones are kind of even. Okay, you got a good product, you've got a good training system. Without that talent, mm-hmm. none of it's going to matter, because you'll just beat yourself over the head trying to do things like motivation and things like that, right, Melody?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what I was going to ask you real quick is how do you measure that? I mean, if you're in the internet, you know, thinking about hiring somebody, how do you measure those key traits that you listed?
Yeah. Well, I think that there are certain questions that you can certainly ask to try to pull that out of someone. And there are questions related to, tell me about a scenario where you had to overcome an objection, or tell me about how you got a sale once after getting no, or mm-hmm. the door slammed in your face 20 times. So there's certainly a lot of probing questions that you can take. I know that Cox Media Group specializes in helping. We do a lot of that ourselves when we hire people. So I'm sure that's something that Rusty and Treg, you guys could help people in crafting specific questions too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not our big wheelhouse. It's not what we do every day, but we do know how to do it. So if you said, hey, Rusty or Treg, can you give me some of these questions that you ask people to figure out talent? Absolutely. We'll help you with that. And I was going to say that you nailed it, Melody. I think that asking those questions about behavior, basically, like, hey, mm-hmm. what did you do in this situation? And then I would also add, ask it again. Say, okay, what's another example?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's another example? Let's see, you know, because I think they might have one story planned, maybe two, but let's see if they got three or four of these kind of situations that they've been in where they can
also
explain,
you know,
how they,
I think it might be a good practice for hiring managers to make themselves inconveniently unavailable,
mm-hmm.
to see how persistent the prospective sales force will be.
Yeah. I was interviewing someone the other day, and I noticed that they found me on LinkedIn prior to meeting with me. They friended me. They surfed my profile. Then afterwards, I got a handwritten letter and an email thanking me for the opportunity to work here.
And all bodes well for that prospect, yeah?
Sure. It certainly speaks to persistence, somebody who does their research and and who wants to be prepared.
Yep, good stuff. I want to take the other end of the spectrum now for those folks who may be in the profession of sales currently or looking to get into that chosen profession. Is there anything, any habits maybe that you've developed, anything that you've that you consistently do to contribute to your success over the tenure of your career, Melody?
Oh, how much longer do we have to go
like 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I wrote down a couple things that particularly come to mind. The first is that when you're first starting out, don't expect it to just be easy to very quickly make a lot of money. I think there's, in this day and age, this expectation of that.
Oh, yeah, I got the degree.
Yeah.
Where's the money?
Right. Hey, I took the client to happy hour. Where's the money? So I think be mentally prepared to really put in some work.
Right.
I think another thing that comes to mind, I remember when I first started, I was doing a lot of the quote, fake it till you make it. You have to have this confidence that even if you don't really know what you're doing, that you're going to figure it out anyways. And so just starting out, just do it. Don't wait until you know everything about what it is that you're selling to go ahead and sell it. You don't need to know everything.
Right. I think what you're describing there is analysis paralysis.
Right.
Yeah, well, there's really no way to learn without trying to sell it first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not going to, I try to explain that to people that try to get into our business, is that no matter how talented you are, you're not going to master that. Well, probably not going to master it ever, because it's an ever-changing world and there's always new problems to solve. But it's going to be at least a year before you kind of get it, before you've seen just about every objection that you're going to get. And you just got to be out there doing it. There's no in-class thing that we can do. There's a few things to give you some basics, but you got to handle these, get these questions. And sometimes you're going to have to say, well, gosh, I don't know, but I will find out for you. I promise you that.
Yeah, and you can always go back and find out. The other thing that comes to mind is stop saying no on behalf of your client before you have even asked.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all a little guilty of that, aren't
we? Well, at least we were at some point in our career, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just assume oftentimes, oh, they're not going to be interested in that particular thing that we have going on. That doesn't fit them. Well, it's not going to. Don't just stop saying no for them. You might be surprised that half of the time you might get some yeses from people you didn't expect.
So, what are some of, or any advice or any pitfalls that you recall at the beginning of your career that you would have liked to have avoided had somebody told you about them?
Any pitfalls? Well, I would say stop trying to meet the quota that your sales manager is asking you, like get to budget or sell this particular new product that we have. Stop worrying about that. Don't fall into the, I gotta get this sale right now. And just keep your head down and stay focused on being customer focused and doing what is in the best interest of that particular customer. Be a consultant, and you do that and the sales will just fall.
Right. I agree with you. You control what you can control. And what you can control is the volume, you know, the number of people that you contact,
right,
the number of businesses that you reach out to, or the number of clients, customers, prospects that you reach out to.
Right.
You can control that. That's directly in your control. So is being lazy. But
that's a good point.
You know,
why did everybody look at me?
Well, you can control work ethic. You can control how much courage you have to ask for a particular sale. You cannot control. You can't strong arm someone into buying something from you. Nor should you make that a practice.
Don't recommend that. That's right.
Yeah.
So good stuff. You have been listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show again, Melody. If somebody wants to get some nuggets, some pearls of wisdom from you on the Salesforce side, where's this blog and how do they reach you?
The website is Road to 1%. One is spelled out O-N-E. So roadto1%.com, and you can go on every week, once a week, Monday mornings, I publish a 5-minute blog that is just a very quick tip regarding sales. You can subscribe to it and just get an email every week. And there's also a contact form on the site that if there's a particular topic or questions that you have, you can send me an email that way too.
Awesome. Good stuff. You have been listening to the Marketing Advisor Radio Show. We will be back in mere moments.
Welcome back to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. Thank you. Thank you for sticking around, although I don't know what else you'd be doing. It is dinner time, but, you know, as we always encourage you to do, just pause dinner or gather around the radio like they used to do in the 40s to listen to the Marketing Advisors. Not that we've been around that long, but, you know. Yeah. But do it anyway. we're going to continue the show. We're, like I said at the beginning, I think we're going to have one of our best shows we've ever had. We started the first half of the show. We talked about sales being under that marketing umbrella.
Yep.
So you and I are always preaching that marketing umbrella isn't just about advertising. Everything goes into that. Customer service, marketing or advertising, sales, and all kinds of other stuff. The second half of the show, we're going to shift gears a little bit and still have a lot of fun, though. We're going to talk about that concept of earned media. And really, Treg, as you know, we talk to a lot of business owners every day, and some have these big, gigantic budgets where they can, I'll take that billboard, that billboard, and that billboard just because I ride home that way and I want to see it.
Right.
Or, I listen to that radio station, watch that TV station, so I want to buy ads there. And I've got the money to do it whether it works or not. We're going to go the other way and talk about earned media because we know that not everybody has a endless budget. And we're going to have John Phillips on, who is a local attorney. And I thought it was kind of cool because I've never met John in my life. This will be the first time I've ever met him. Yet I feel like I know who he is because I always see him
because of the media that you've seen.
Because of the media,
right.
and it's earned media. I think he'll tell us in a second that it's not easy. You got to earn it. That's why they call it earned media. But I think he's a good expert to have on that subject because he's done a lot with little, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
Little in terms of spending the money on the media. But a lot in terms of that earned part and the effort. So, John Phillips, welcome. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, fan and listener. So I'm glad to be here.
Good, good. We really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about, your background and that point where you realized, hey, maybe I don't have to, well, maybe I don't have the, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend on it. But yet, what can I do to try to get some publicity for me and my firm?
Right. I've been in Jacksonville practicing law since 2001. In the first half, nobody heard of me, nor would they ever have heard of me, because I did insurance defense. And if you're making noise representing big companies, mm-hmm. you're kind of doing it wrong.
Sure.
You know, you want to keep their business out of the media, and you want to quell things down. And then I went to one of these advertising firms and was there a short stint and then started my own firm in 2011. And as I talked to you about in the hallway, I had to find a way to do what they were doing and able to pay millions of dollars for. And so, you know, my first stint was if I can be a subject matter expert and be on the news, I don't need to be in between the news, right? And then the second tier of that was social media. In 2011, it wasn't quite what it is right now. And Facebook allowed mm-hmm. businesses to go a little further and their posts went a little further. But it was those two things, you know, earned media. I didn't even know what earned media was in 2011. And now I'm this guru in it these days. And you know, social media being, you know, kind of the two-pronged attack.
That's good stuff. I can relate to actually being on the news instead of in between the news because people are watching for the news. It's not the Super Bowl. They're not watching for the commercials, right? They're watching for the news. So if you can be a part of that content and give some really good stuff to the viewing audience, then so much the better.
Well, and it's easy for me in my career representing people that tend to have higher profile things go bad.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily as easy for some of the small businesses out there, or you'd think it's not. But if you have an idea, these morning shows are always looking for content. And, you know, if you watch all of those restaurants and, you know, other businesses that go on there, apparel stores you see during the Jaguar season, you know, they're not on there because they're advertisers. They're on there because they have some content and they've pitched it to a producer and that producer likes it and needs 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes to fill. And so that's where we started.
Well, you know, the business category of law is really competitive, especially the kind of law that you right. practice. How are you able to get them to make you that guy, make you the one they want to interview? I guess you mentioned a little bit, you have the more high profile cases.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
any other advice there?
It started off out of kind of nowhere. You know, Jody Arias was going on and it just, you know, had all of that mm-hmm. you know, trouble go down and they needed another lawyer to comment on it. And, you know, I just kind of pitched my name, even though I didn't do much criminal defense, and they had me on. And then, you know, the whole Jordan Davis thing happened. And once you're on CNN and Good Morning America and the Today Show with cases, you don't need to do much more.
Sure,
it kind of trickles down. Yeah, the bicycle pedals itself at some point. But I mean, I started with a little PR agent that I paid a couple $100 a month that got me on AM radio just so that I could learn how to talk in sound bites. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking for the entire segment and then you're looking at me and never want me back. or you know,
Greg looks at me like that sometimes, but he's forced to deal with me.
Every episode.
One of the hard things to do, because we all do it and I do it, but one of the hard things is to beat the mm-hmms and the uh-huhs and the you knows. And I had to listen to myself back a lot to suppress some of that, because you know, people, and you can watch an interview and if you're listening for the you knows, you'll hear them, but otherwise most people don't hear them. But it's you know, with any of this stuff, it's a craft. Being on social media and using Facebook is a craft, and there's ways to get business out of both.
How much does personality play in this? Do you have to have a, like what you would call an outgoing personality?
Extrovert,
or, yeah,
right?
Be an extrovert?
I joke to some people that little do people know that I'm an introvert from Alabama, you know? but it helps, you know, there's you know for the day. But it's not something for a wallflower necessary. The people that are worried about speeches and need to picture everybody naked to give that speech, that old saying, going on a television show with millions of people watching may not be perfect for you. But that's where, you know, that's where social media, there's all types of free media. And that's kind of, I guess, the topic for today, whether it's earned because you've got a story and the news wants to carry it, or whether it's kind of earned through social media. There's outlets that avoid you having to pay thousands of dollars.
Let's talk about the social media aspect of this for a second. Maybe I'll just ask you a broad question of how do you utilize social media for this?
We're constant, and that's probably why you feel like you may know me or my brand before meeting me, mm-hmm. because and it's mostly me. There are apps like Buffer and other apps that you can pre-program your social media. But we try to do things in real time, and me and my team make sure to put out content, weird laws. I had a tagline when we first started, things that made you know, want to like a lawyer, because it's hard to like a lawyer literally and figuratively. And the same goes for a dentist or certain professions that, you know, most people just aren't going to find what they do every day necessarily interesting. And so it's why we have the partnership with the shrimp and do the mm-hmm. do the weird laws. And if you go to the ice hockey games, we've got the John Phillips jail cell, and we try to kind of have
and
fun.
And you've got the boombox too, right?
We've got the world's largest, boombox. And we just, you know, we're in the parades with it and just trying to get involved with the community. And everything that we've done with charity and giving back has paid tenfold.
Sure. So we're talking to John Phillips of the Law Office of John Phillips. And if you're in that category of a business that is trying to get a little more, squeeze a little more out of the dollars that you have, you certainly want to continue listening to this show. About out of time for this segment. When we come back, Treg and I, we're a little late to this story, but John was involved in we'll call it banner advertising for now,
right.
at some away games with the Jaguars, and had a lot of fun with that. So don't go away. Our final segment is coming right up. You're listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV. This is the point where you're used to me getting a little teary-eyed because I don't want to leave the microphone, but this is the last 10 minutes or so of our show until next Saturday, but we'll be good. Rusty Winter, joined by Treg Kazik, as always, and we're having just a real fun show today. We talked about sales in the beginning, in the first half of the show with Melody Hutchison, who's just, you know, a goddess in that realm. And we're having a lot of fun talking about earned media. We introed that by saying that not every business is loaded with just being able to buy whatever media they want and whatever advertising they want. Most businesses, especially the ones starting out, are in that situation. What's funny is some of those learn how to do it, and that's all they do the rest of their business career. So we've got an expert on that. John Phillips is joining us. He's a local attorney here in Jacksonville. He's worked a lot of high profile cases, but that's not really what we're here to talk to him about. We're here to talk to him about his prowess in that earned media. So we left off the last segment with what we call the tease in a radio show. And we talked about banners, banner advertising, we'll call it. But when the Jaguars, so we're a little late to this story, but when the Jaguars were playing Pittsburgh and playing New England, those were both away games, and John got a group together to come up with some funds to run some banners in those hostile stadiums. And so, John, I'm not going to spoil the story. Why don't you tell us about that?
Right. So we started out, originally the banners were being used at Jaguars games to promote a negative cause, and we just we didn't like it. And whatever you feel on that argument, I just hate seeing negativity, regardless of the reason for it. And so we bought out the rest of the season with hashtag Justice for All, which is one of our brands, banners. And then we were headed to Pittsburgh to play, you know, in the divisional championship, and I had a wild idea, like, okay, so we've taken this as far as it'll go. I don't want Pittsburgh fans to blow up my, you know, Facebook with one-star reviews, and I don't get anything out of that. And so we did a GoFundMe, and it sold out for the price of the banner, a couple thousand bucks, in a matter of hours, I think. And then we did it again for Boston for the AFC Championship, which sold out even quicker. And so now the city bought in, and you know, certainly we got credit, and I did some interviews about it. Mm-hmm. So there was some earned media push, but a lot of this stuff comes from sincerity.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say that.
If you're doing earned media, or you're doing stuff for the community, and you're still making it about yourself, the public will know, and they'll be able to tell. And so we rallied around the Bold City Brigade and some of the other groups that support the Jaguars and just let this be theirs. We took all advertising on it. It was strictly Duval and hashtag DTWD and a good Jaguars message. So it was fun and certainly helped spread the Jaguars brand across the NFL as we traveled from city to city until, you know, those last few poor seconds of the championship game.
Yeah, that's great, and I love how you put that. It's not the politician kissing the baby, you know. It's not photo op kind of things. These are things that you really care about. I can tell you're a big sports fan, and
absolutely,
so you know what's going on. You're in tune with that community. You know what's going on with the Jags. You know what's going on with the Jumbo Shrimp, and so that comes from the heart. And I think that's a good bit of advice to people that if you got to really over try and do something that's uncomfortable for you, it's probably not a good idea to do it, because then it could be a disaster. But well, go ahead.
There's the expression "fake it till you make it," and some people can. Some people can pull that off. But if you're real till you make it, you'll appreciate it a lot more.
And I don't like the spiral that takes you in. Sometimes you tell one lie or whatever, you always got to tell a follow up lie, and I think it's better just to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat. So speaking of potential disasters, I know you have a thing that you're getting ready to do. You were describing it to me as getting ready to do a speech on this, but I thought it would be a fun thing to cover here on the show. But that's like the subject of PR disasters and how to handle that? Because go ahead.
Right. So we talked about social media and the positive of it, and earned media and the positive of it. But you're only good until you're bad. And mm-hmm. so it takes one tweet these days for any business to go bad. And I told you during the break, I'm very cautious who has a finger on that send button, because it can really go awry quickly. And my password.
Well, that's the standard excuse, right? Somebody stole my password. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
It wasn't me, Shaggy used to say. And so so we were asked to give a speech with, you know, after the shootings and some of the disasters, there's been explosions. And any time the national news jumps to a scene, there's usually a PR spokesman or woman or lawyer speaking out first, and it can result from a tweet. Mm-hmm. Things can go that awry these days, and it happens instantaneously. And so with all of the national news and I guess media savvy that people think that I have, I was asked to give a speech to PR professionals on what to do, what not to do, mm-hmm. and how to handle everything when PR hits the fan, so to speak.
Well, what is the advice if PR hits the fan? What are you going to tell the folks there?
Well, it's just you've got to know your audience. And so many people are so desperate to get a message out there that they haven't thought about the message. And media, I'm not a media basher, but media has a story to tell, and they have viewers to satisfy.
Absolutely.
And they're not exactly concerned about what happens in the fishbowl after their cameras are off, whether the sharks are eating themselves or whether the community lives symbiotically after that. And so that's kind of the key point, because oftentimes things go awry and people spit out facts, and those facts will live forever. Lawyers will dissect them. Mm-hmm. And it's really just kind of pausing a beat and having an emergency plan in case something like that happens.
We only got about 2 minutes left. Any last minute advice on that subject of earned media? So if I'm a business owner out there and I love what I'm hearing, but I don't quite know where to start, what would you tell them?
Jacksonville has some of the best morning shows around. Mm-hmm. And that's where people can generally get their start. If they have a unique product, a unique service, if it boils around, look, we're headed to tax time. If you're the best tax preparer in the country, mm-hmm. Or in the town, come up with an idea and say, hey, let me show why you need to do X, Y, and Z, or a new law came out, or whatever it is, and hit up the producers. Their web addresses, their email addresses are on the internet, on their websites, and just, you know, start there, and it'll go forward, or post about it enough, and people will see it.
Lastly, you know, we didn't really talk about your practice or your firm, but I would love to give you the opportunity to tell listeners if they have an issue that they're dealing with. First, why don't you tell us about all the areas you practice in and then how to reach you?
Certainly. You know, we started out just doing personal injury, wrongful death, and civil rights, and have mm-hmm. expanded to family law and criminal defense. And just, you know, on the branding thing, we acquired 444444444 and have since acquired six more of those in different area codes as we've grown. So it's, you know, we're out here trying to help people, usually on bad days.
Thanks for coming, John. We really appreciate
Pleasure.
You coming in on a Saturday like this. I'm talking for Treg Kazik. I'm Rusty Winter. You've been listening to the Marketing Advisors on News 104.5 WOKV, and we will return next Saturday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.